If you want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Let me show you how to make the fortune you have always dreamed about.
Ready? Go!
What happens if you are named
in Nelson
Rockefeller's
will?
You get rich quick.
Stand on the line, play the game again. Everybody's gonna lose and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick. This is my lucky day.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to yet another day of Get Rich Quick with Josh
and Noel.
We're with you today celebrating this great country of ours and the real basis of this great country of ours at this point, which is getting rich as quickly as possible.
As quickly as humanly possible.
I think we may even be considering inhumanly possible.
Yes, we definitely should be considering inhumanly possible today.
Because today's topic, Noel, is...
It's outer space.
That's right.
Yeah, it's an endless... vast resource for which you can capitalize.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, it's amazing in the incredible amounts of research that I did on this topic this week. I came across many, many ways to get rich in the outer space.
Oh, so did I. So did I. This is going to be a good one.
I think so. I think it's going to be chock full of ideas for you all.
Yeah. So if anyone right now, if you're listening on Radio Free Brooklyn, you just got to listen as it comes. But if you are listening to the podcast version of this, you might want to pause. You might want to call up your boss, tell him to go fuck himself.
You do it already before you even have decided how it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This one, if you can't get rich on this one, you might want to consider suicide.
Wow, you just took that step. You just may want to consider that you're not the kind of person that is built for getting rich quickly.
That's true.
You may be a get by slowly kind of person.
You might just wither on the vine until one day
you just die, like everyone else does.
Yeah.
You have no dreams. You have no desires. You just exist.
Yeah. My goal is to one day get so rich that when I die, like everyone dies,
mm-hmm.
I will be shot into outer space in a solid gold coffin.
Now, is the idea that you'll be in a spaceship, or by the time that happens that they'll just have a solid gold coffin that can actually just go straight into space?
No, they'll build it for me.
Just right, yeah, okay. So it'll have propulsion jets and the whole thing on it.
Yeah, so I actually hope I die before that technology is fully realized. So that, you know, they got to invent something for me. Well, I understand rocket technology already exists.
Right.
Uh-huh. But I don't know. We'll put another ripple so that scientists really got to crunch.
Well, I think it's the fact that you're dead makes it a whole lot easier for them. You know, there's a lot of safety issues that they don't have to worry about.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. I'm just banging around inside
right,
this box.
Exactly. You're banging around inside the box. They strap you in pretty good. As long as the box doesn't fall apart on the way up.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. You know what I mean? And it's just got to get to that, you know, through that last bit of atmosphere, and then it'll hit and it'll just float. It's not like you're going to a specific planet. It's not like they're really aiming for anything.
No, they're not. But you know what there is going to be? Is there going to be a camera inside the coffin?
Live feeding your dead
body? There's
going to
be a Dead Noel channel. And it will. You can, at any time in the future, you just turn on channel. I'm going to say it's going to be like channel one.
One.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can just, you know, hang out with me in space for a while.
Is it going to be one here in New York City?
One everywhere.
One everywhere.
One, number one.
Okay. So New York one may have to become New York zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's good. And, you know, I know I'll be getting rich selling ad time for that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You're in.
Of course I'm in. We're partners in all things getting rich quickly.
If you die
friend.
First, though. I sell ads on your channel.
Well, I'm not getting shot into space.
Okay, well, you better think of something good on TV then, because I want to.
I don't know. I'd be curious how we could do like a live cremation cam where you just watch my ashes sit there.
Yeah,
that might be interesting. Inside the urn or probably box that Deb will just have.
You know,
sitting somewhere
if
in a
you
closet.
Were to turn your ashes into like an ant farm, it might be interesting.
Uh huh. That's actually kind of interesting.
That'd be cool.
That's actually a really good idea. Or I think it would be interesting to mix it with colored sand and get those sort of like things you get at the fairs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's my dead body and then there's red, green, blue, and yellow.
Uh-huh.
and it's in a bottle.
Well, I think we got some plans going on here.
We always have plans going on. We're full of plans.
On to, though, getting rich in space.
Mm-hmm.
Before we're shot into space.
Right.
You know, here's one thing that we did slightly touch on in our first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, there is a company called LunarRegistry.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy land on the moon.
Okay.
You can buy lunar real estate. If you buy in the Sea of Vapors, which is the cheapest part of the moon.
Why is that? What are the vapors in the Sea of Vapors that it's so cheap?
I don't know. You know the way those like dark spots on the moon are just named different things?
Right. Okay. So it's probably the cheapest because they don't really know what's going on down there.
Probably.
Right.
That's...
You're
where the
kind
suspected
of sight
Nazi camp on the moon is.
Where Hitler and Elvis and Jim Morrison are all together. Yeah.
So that's only $18.95 an acre.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cheap.
Yeah. Sea of Tranquility, which is the moon's most prestigious location, according to this website.
That would make sense, yeah.
That's right by where the lunar landings were.
Right.
That is $37.50 an acre. Still, you know... pretty good.
But what are you going to do on the moon? I mean, besides harvesting the cheese.
You could have a hotel.
Okay, yeah.
You could actually.
Yeah,
that'd
yeah,
be a good
absolutely.
Business idea.
I would imagine that I'm sure there are people working on that right now.
Yeah, the point is, you don't have to do anything on the moon.
You just have to have the land.
You just have to have the land. And when someone else figures out what that moon's good for, boom, that land's worth money.
Right. So property is the same in outer space. That like the concept of property is the same in outer space as it is right here on our home planet.
According to LunarRegistry.com,
right.
Yes.
Does Lunar Registry also, I guess lunar is only the moon, right? Lunar
yes.
implies only the moon
yes.
or means only the moon. Because I thought there was their star registry. That's what
well,
I was thinking about.
But that's you're naming stars after
right.
you.
You're not actually
buying the
star.
Star.
And a star will never be someplace that you could ever land. Stars are just giant balls of extraordinarily heated energy that eventually implode and explode.
Yeah, it'll be hard to retire
right.
to a star.
You're not moving to a star.
No.
But if you own the star and there happens to be a planet similar to Earth orbiting
yes.
that said star, which is giving off all of the energy, I mean, you've got that shit locked. I mean, you become the Con Ed of the entire planet, basically.
Yes, that's true.
Right? You could make a fortune.
Yeah.
Selling, being like, you know, well, you can't use my star.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you'd stop people from doing that.
I don't know.
But, you know, it's your star.
Yeah, you trademark the energy that comes off it or something?
I don't know. We'd have. Well, I think that's some research that needs to be done. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
You know, this is a problem with brainstorming now here on air. Is we can't fully flesh out these ideas. But as we always say, these are ideas that are we put out to the public. We're kind of like the Elon Musk of ideas.
That's
he actually allows you to use things that he's created or have been created under his patents. We, on the other hand, don't go that far. We just spitball some ideas, and if you want to run with it, you feel free.
That's right. This is like a genius idea written on a cocktail
uh-huh.
napkin.
We could call this a genius bar, even.
Yes.
If that name weren't already taken.
An incubator.
It is an incubator.
An incubator.
An incubator.
An incubator.
as always, as we just like to point out, that if you do take one of these ideas and get really rich off of it, tithe us our 10%.
10%.
That's it.
That's all we ask.
You know, I was listening. I had heard the, I turned on the GOP debates last week or
okay.
whatever it was. And right when I turned it on was right when the question about getting rid of the IRS, EPA, and Department of Education came up. And they shot right to Dr. Ben Carson with that. Would you get rid of that? And he immediately said, I would get rid of the IRS and change our tax system to a tithe system.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's why I don't vote GOP.
We should pitch the show to him, you know? He can start
should.
Tithing us.
Maybe he's one of our listeners.
Yeah.
We don't know yet. So let's talk about, so we've got property on the moon, which is the closest, it is the closest planet to us, right?
Well, it's not a planet, it's a moon. Well,
right,
but,
okay,
yeah.
I understand. The closest
celestial body
to us, yes. Right? Because, I mean, obviously everyone's talking about Mars, right? Mars is the hot place, they think. If we're going to find signs of extraterrestrial life, that's going to be on Mars.
Yeah.
And it's always been the case, even going way back, right? Mars has always been invasions from Mars. Everyone said the red planet was the place where life was going to come from, right? And so I wonder why we haven't sent anyone there yet. Is it just a distance thing?
Well, yeah. And basically, we have the technology to send someone to Mars. But then they're going to die on Mars.
That's okay. I think that if you're willing to make that commitment.
There are people now actually signing up to saying, I'm cool with that.
That's right. I actually heard about that. And they're doing training somewhere in the desert somewhere, aren't they? There's like they have at least 6 or 7 people who are expected to at some point do this journey or hope to at some point do this journey and are totally fine with the idea that if we go there, we're there and we're done.
Yeah. Yeah, you know all the talk about the faces on Mars and stuff like that, which are basically mountainscapes that people are saying were at one time giant, almost Mount Rushmore-esque statues of faces.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a big crater, which they say was a giant nuclear bomb site.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not hear about the nuclear bomb site.
So a lot of people say that Mars was inhabited.
Uh-huh.
By intelligent beings.
Right.
And has since, you know, life has gotten wiped off of it.
Right. That's interesting. I mean, that plays right into this concept, which I'd never heard of, but there is this idea that is apparently very prevalent in actual scientific communities and has been around for a while of panspermia.
Panspermia,
which is this idea that life on Earth may have actually come from outer space.
Oh, sure. That on a comet or meteor or something
right,
like that.
Right, and
yes.
The
building blocks for life.
Right, exactly. The building blocks for life came on these comets. And it's known as panspermia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, that would kind of make sense, you know, that a comet may be breaking off of Mars after the nuclear explosion, right? This massive—I mean, that crater is huge.
Yeah,
I had never heard the theory posited that it was from a nuclear explosion, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they're saying.
And
on
you know,
the interwebs,
on the interwebs, and a big chunk of it flying off.
Yeah,
several chunks of it hitting this great world of ours.
And here we go.
And here we go.
Yeah. Spam spermia.
Pan, not spam spermia.
It's spam spermia is better, though.
This is where spam came from.
Yeah.
Shoulder of pork.
Yeah.
And ham.
Yeah. So do you have any good ideas about how to get rich in space?
Well, I think there are several. Like, you know, there is also, you know, you have all these meteors out there that are at their core are precious metals.
Oh, yes. And if we go to Mars, if we put a building on the moon, if we do any of this,
right?
I guarantee you it's to mine it.
Right. What's mineable on Mars? Is there anything mineable on Mars, do you know? I mean, I know that they talk of primarily of sort of smaller planets and asteroids, meteors that at their core are these things because, you know, they're from these exploded stars, right? And so they're just rich in gold, iron, platinum, even iridium, things of that nature. So, like, I mean, what was that amazing movie with Bruce Willis and
the one with the asteroid or whatever?
Yes, the asteroid where they went on and they basically, the miners were the big heroes and they went on and dug a big hole to put the nuclear device in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting on one of those and then, you know, knowing when to get off before it all falls apart while you're digging through it, I mean, that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but if you want to get rich, sometimes you got to work. Yeah. You know, well, Mars is a big place. I'm sure there's a lot of everything on Mars. And you know, for computers. What's it called? Is it rare earth mineral? Is it called? There's a component that is used for almost all of our technology nowadays. That the only source they believe is from meteors that have hit the Earth.
Really?
Yeah. It's called like rare earth something. Rare earth metal, rare earth mineral, something like that.
Huh. You know, I know that that the other theory about gold is that gold came here from meteorites.
Okay.
Specifically from meteorites. The feeling is that with the way that the Earth was formed, that gold, any gold that was formed when the Earth was formed would have actually been sucked down into the core of the Earth and become part of the core part of the core of the Earth. And then that later on, when the meteors kind of came and hit here, all the gold that's sort of more surface, which is the gold that we find, all came from meteors.
Yeah. Do you ever read any Philip K. Dick?
No.
Ah, I love him. He has a book that was called The Three Stigmatas of Palmer Eldritch. And it's a great concept. The book kind of falls apart as you go through it. But the entire concept of the book is that we have these mining colonies on Mars. And there is absolutely nothing for these people to do up there. So they take this drug and basically play with Barbie dolls called Perky Pat. In these little dollhouses. And the drugs make them like get really into playing with them so that they live these fantasy lives through them. And the two biggest companies on Earth are these companies that are creating and marketing fashions and must-have items for your Perky Pat doll.
Wow.
And it's like this cutthroat fashion industry that is just for these dolls, for all these people mining on Mars and playing with their dolls while they take drugs.
That is great.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, that I feel like that's what it should be. I mean, I would love a Perky Pat doll. Has anyone ever marketed the Perky Pat doll? Do you know?
No, I don't think so. Not that I know of. Maybe in a comic book store you could find it somewhere, because I feel like there's a big overlap between Philip K. Dick and comic fans.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's sci-fi stuff, you
right.
know. You know where would be a great place to mine? There's a planet that's 40 light years away that they discovered in 2012. Or maybe they already knew it was there, but in 2012 they figured out that this planet that's twice the size of Earth is made of diamond. The planet is made of diamond.
So if you're going to mine a planet that's actually made of diamond, that is basically one solid diamond.
Basically, yeah.
How do you go about doing that, right? Because diamond is still considered the hardest substance.
Yeah.
You know, do you just sort of haul? I mean, but it's twice the size of Earth,
twice so you're not going to haul this whole planet back. No. Well, people cut diamonds.
They do. I mean, they polish them, they cut them, they chip away at them. That's true. So I guess they'd have to just do like a very large version of that machine, just sort of slicing through everything.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Could you imagine just walking around that planet?
Everything would be diamonds.
The trees. But waterfalls would be diamonds.
Yeah, but if we'd started mining diamonds on that planet, everything on Earth would be diamonds.
That's true.
We'd have like diamond roads.
Do you think so, or do you think? I mean, you know, chances are really good that it would be entirely owned and operated by De Beers.
Yeah, De Beers are going to buy the planet and
just
sit on
own the planet and sit on it. Exactly. We discussed this in our Jules episode.
Yeah,
that you know. They have their enormous underground thing, and now they just have a planet that is a diamond. And Mr. De Beers is just sitting there on a throne, hooked up to life support, cackling away. He's finally gotten everything he's always wanted.
Yeah. You know what I always think's funny? Is like a very famous outer space conspiracy theory is that our ruling elite mm-hmm. are shape-shifting lizard alien people.
That's, well, now see, that's an interesting thing. I'm just going to say this because the whole, there, part of that whole theory is that they're not actually from outer space. And the people who believe that theory don't believe that aliens are from outer space. They believe that they are actually interdimensional beings.
Okay.
And so that they actually come through from another dimension and take on the forms of human beings. There was that amazing Rowdy Roddy Piper, may he rest in peace, film.
Love that movie. I own that movie.
Do you really? Yeah. I've watched it. There was a period where it was on like HBO and Cinemax, and I would watch it every time it was on.
Because it's fantastic.
Uh-huh. It's a great movie.
That like 15-minute fight scene in the uh-huh. alley? That's awesome.
Uh-huh. And Rowdy Roddy Piper is remarkably...
He's great.
A decent actor.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic. You Have you ever seen his other movies, though, I've seen... And not as good. Like, what's the one, The Hell Comes to Frogtown?
I don't know that one. I remember there was one other one that got, that I remember was released in the movie theaters that the name escapes me. It was a little more sort of classic drifter walks into town kind of stuff mm-hmm. and helps save the town from the bad.
That's what he does.
Guy. Right. But he you're right. He wasn't as good. But this movie is should be, you know. Rowdy Roddy Piper 101 as far as his film work.
Career. Oh, yeah. As far as films.
Yeah, and first films in general.
It's a classic.
Uh-huh. What was the name of it? Do you remember the name?
They Live.
They Live. Yeah. That's right. That's
so
right.
Even if they're from interdimensional mm-hmm. instead of aliens, mm-hmm. they are not of this world.
Right.
And somehow they looked at us and said, oh, look, these people use little pieces of paper for currency.
Mm-hmm.
We want them all. That's and they're going to come here and impersonate us and rule our planet uh-huh. so that they can take what we have decided as money.
Is money.
Wherever yeah. they come from, they're not using pieces of paper as money. Like, if we found an alien race, most likely whatever they use for money, we would think is garbage.
Right.
We wouldn't go there to take whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go there to take their diamonds.
That's right. Their diamond planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you make a good point. It's sad because I really like that theory. But part of it, isn't it, the power, too? It's not so much about the money, but it's about the control.
Well,
controlling the humans.
All right.
Why they'd want to control us. It's not like they eat us.
No.
We're not, as far as I know, we're not being used as food or as slave labor.
Yeah.
Right? So what is their real purpose for controlling us?
Unless it's like a long-term plan where they're farming us up, and then they're going to, reap the harvest one day.
Mm-hmm.
It's senseless otherwise.
Right. How to eat, how to serve humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. I mean, you know, I would certainly be the fatted calf, as it were. But as I age, I get tougher and tougher.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
You ain't going to get any good bites on me by the time you get around to it.
Long, slow braise, my friend.
Yeah.
Call you.
That's
call
right.
Me mutton.
That's right.
Mutton. You know, the other classic conspiracy theory is, and I'm not going to go to the one that everyone says, that the moon landing was false and it was directed by the director
yeah,
who did
that movie,
and that it's that he, this is all referenced in that movie that he directed, of the many movies he's directed. But the nice one that I've liked is the one that Tex Mars propagates, which is that all of the astronauts in the original moon landing,
mm-hmm.
when the Eagle has landed, were all Freemasons and members of the Illuminati.
Okay.
And that they did actually land on the moon, but they did the sort of paltry to be broadcast on live television American flag, one step for, you know, man, one giant step for mankind
mm-hmm.
thing. But then after the cameras went off, they unfurled
I know about this.
The
yeah.
flag of the two-headed eagle.
Yeah, the Illuminati.
Of the Illuminati. And proceeded to do an Illuminati
ritual,
wherein where's the line? Because it's where Neil Armstrong carefully took out his Masonic apron and held it up for the cameras over his spacesuit as if to cover his genitals area, the power center.
Boom.
Or dynamo of Luciferian energy and Masonic ritual.
Oh, why has no woman ever called my crotch my dynamo of Luciferian energy?
How good would that make you feel? You should start calling it that.
Yeah.
When you're there, when you're at that moment and you just look her dead in the eyes and you say, "Are you ready for my dynamo of Luciferian energy?"
Yeah, it's got to work better than Russell the Love Muscle.
Yeah, or Tiny Tim.
Yeah, or Tiny Tim, yeah.
Any of those would be better. But he gets very into sort of the imagery and the iconography of NASA and how NASA is essentially entirely owned and operated, which we have discussed before. We mentioned in past, and this is just sort of reaffirming or confirming our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. We're circling back.
Always. I mean, that's the nature of our thoughts, right?
I mean,
of the way we work. But, you know, all the patches, which you may just look at like, oh, look, it's the names of the three guys, or here's a picture of the crew of Apollo 13 with three separate old school navigation tools to just show like how we've progressed. That's how I would have normally perceived it.
Sure.
But now I'm being told that an octant, a navigation tool similar in shape to a Masonic compass, used aboard a ship in the year 1790.
Sure. They line up the stars.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Apollo 13 emblem representing the sun god.
Here's the thing about that. Okay. I guess I can see if people are saying they faked the moon landing. Mm-hmm. Technically, there could be some strategy behind that, which would be, we can't get there, but we can make the Russians think we got there. So there's a little bit of a reason to do it.
Right. You can work that conspiracy theory to an end where you can actually have...
Yes.
You can to you that it would make some sense.
Exactly. But what's the payoff for the Illuminati to put their secret flag up there?
Well, the more and more I learn about the Illuminati, right?
They work in mysterious ways.
They do. The more and more I realize that what they are, the people who are really most sort of obsessed with the Illuminati are the hyper-religious.
Sure.
Conspiracy theorists. And their whole thought about the Illuminati is that the Illuminati, and I think we really have to do a show on conspiracy theories and on the Illuminati.
Yeah, because we don't ever talk about them.
You're right. Well, you know, so we can just really sum it all up in one show. But that the Illuminati, because they were originally back in the 1700s when they started, were originally a believers in... they were a non-religious group, essentially. They were about enlightenment, and so they were kind of anti-religion in a lot of ways. That therefore they are devil worshippers.
Well,
and that they are Luciferian.
Okay, all right. But the Knights Templar, which is what this all sprung from, were defenders of the area in Israel between Jerusalem and Syria. There was a path there, and they basically defended that path. During the Crusades.
Right. They were the 300 of the Crusades.
Yeah.
Although they weren't, really.
Okay.
But I just like to put that in my head. But they're not. The Illuminati is not a... when you think of the... generally, the reference is to the Bavarian Illuminati, which was a secret society... of which there were many secret societies at that time, that's goal was to sort of infiltrate the government and bring the people together under a banner of equality. It was essentially socialism, communism, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
In doing so, they actually garnered some power, but they always end up getting quashed. Like, once they started to get big... the Bavarian government would outlaw secret societies.
Okay.
So it's actually a separate secret society. Not that these secret societies don't work together.
Sure.
But, you know.
Layers of an onion.
Layers
it's
of
like,
an onion.
The more I learn about the Illuminati, the more I realize they're just like a woman. I can't get them?
They just make me cry.
Yeah.
All they do is make me cry.
Go through so much effort just to make me frustrated.
Speaking of the Illuminati.
Yes.
I haven't found anything, but I'm sure that there are people out there who think that Donald Trump
is
part of the Illuminati.
Oh,
conspiracy.
Most definitely. Well, there definitely are people who think that Hillary Clinton and the Clintons are part of the Illuminati.
Yes, for sure.
And I read a thing very recently where there's a growing group of people who think that Donald Trump is a straw man trying to trash the Democratic Party for Hillary Clinton.
You mean the GOP?
Yes.
The Republicans.
The Republicans, sorry, yes.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
That is a theory that has been thrown out there. I actually had heard someone posit that Bernie Sanders is the same thing mm-hmm. for the Republican Party, for the Democratic Party, which makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I know.
But yeah, that one gets thrown around quite a bit. But in, you know, again, bringing up Donald Trump, we have our segment.
Yes, we do.
Stump the Trump. And, you know, it was interesting because, especially now, it's hard to find sort of old Donald Trump stuff now that he's sort of out there and he's, you know, everything you find is really recent stuff. And
okay.
He's kind of become kind of a broken record.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, yeah. Donald Trump, outer space. And then it hits me. Donald Trump owns the Miss Universe pageant.
Ooh, nice.
So here's a little something from Donald Trump.
Okay. Classic Donald Trump. Classic from before. Donald Trump. Before he was big with the kids.
That's right. giving us a little.
I know that you have very high standards. What is it that you're looking for in a Miss Universe to represent your organization?
Well, obviously, it's great outer beauty. I mean, we could say politically correct that the look doesn't matter, but the look obviously matters. Like, you wouldn't have your job if you weren't beautiful. It's very sad, isn't it?
So there you go.
Yeah, we wouldn't have our jobs if we weren't beautiful either.
We would
either.
Not have our jobs without our beauty.
That's right.
You know.
So Stump the Trump brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
Radio Free Brooklyn, as always. And Herschel.
And Herschel the dog. They just wander the down here.
You know, while you're on the interweb, people, if you want to go to Instagram and check out Herschel, H-E-R-S-C-H-E-L, _the_ Doxador, D-O-X-A-D-O-R.
That's...
You can check
that
out.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Doesn't it? Herschel _the_Doxador.
Yeah.
On Instagram. You can see beautiful photos of my little pup.
And speaking of rolling right off the tongue, we actually have, if you ever want to get in touch with us here and give us any show ideas
mm-hmm.
or, you know, rules with which to judge our get-rich-quick schemes against.
Yeah, and we will use them.
Yeah.
We are definitely looking forward to... hearing from y'all in general.
Yes.
We'd like to know if people are out there, you know, troll us, you know, or be nice,
yeah.
Whatever you want to do, that's fine.
Just do anything to make us feel like we're not shouting into the wind off the side of a cliff.
No, exactly. That's kind of, I periodically look and go, okay, nothing there, and check for reviews, and I'm waiting for the first review that's not one of us
yeah.
or my wife. But yeah, ideas. You can hit us at our Twitter handle, which is...
GRQ Josh Noel.
That's GRQ Josh Noel. That's on the Twitter.
Yes.
Or you can email us at GRQ with Josh and Noel
at gmail.com.
Is there other ways to reach us?
Yeah, you can go to our Facebook page.
We have a Facebook page.
Which is whatever, facebook.com/GRQ Josh Noel.
Right. And you can like that page, and you'll get updates about GRQ prizes.
And prizes.
Prizes, contests, GRQ contests to see if you've been listening and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Reach out to us. Contact us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to talk to you in a weird way. It's not really talking, but communicate with you.
We'd like to continue the conversation.
We would like to continue the conversation.
As they say on...
GRQ After Hours. Get rich quick with Josh and Noel After Hours.
After Hours. Ooh, sounds sexy, Josh.
Hello. Hello, ladies. My dynamo.
Yeah.
My Luciferian center of all energy. he's...
Someday someone will say that about me.
I'll say it about you, Noah.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
It's not going to work well.
You guys, there's a reason we started this podcast. It was just so Josh could eventually see my wiener.
Wow, really? We got there quickly.
We got there. We got right there.
We can end this now.
Yeah, guys.
The real point of all of this is officially coming.
Seven
out.
Episodes. That's how hard it is to get into my pants. Seven episodes.
Ooh, and I've been working.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, folks. Outer space. So what other ways can we get rich quick? I mean, obviously, all the big tech guys are dealing in outer space now. That's like and it's all for they all are looking at it. It's all about satellites.
Sure.
They want to get satellites up there, and because their feeling is that communication is all going to be via satellite, all internet is going to be via satellite, and they want to control that.
Yeah, and actually I read about too, there's a tech company, I don't know their name, but they were doing satellites. And then they switched, and maybe they also do satellites,
mm-hmm.
but now they have a booming business of basically being a cartage company up and back to the space station. Yeah, so they bring supplies up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about most of these types of things, though, is someone's getting rich,
right?
But the barrier to entry is massive.
Define barrier to entry. Entry into the getting rich, into the halls.
Into being able to play in that game.
Yeah, well, you need a lot of effing money to start that.
Hundreds of millions of dollars to start.
Right. Well, so, you know, we kind of established this idea that, you know, kind of the rules of space for getting rich are not going to be too dissimilar to the rules of Earth getting rich,
okay.
Right? You're going to need to start something up. So obviously the way that our listeners, I assume, who are looking to get rich quick, we're going to have to wait till sort of the big doors are already open.
Oh, man. No, we do not. I have a almost no money down scheme for nearly limitless money to do with space.
Oh my God!
That anyone here can capitalize on.
So I before we say this, I want to make sure that you feel okay about putting this out over the airwaves.
I feel 100% good because I trust our listeners will uh-huh. tithe us, give us 10%.
Okay.
If you want to give us 11 as a tip, that's fantastic. So the only space conspiracy that to me seems to make sense
mm-hmm.
in that there's a real motive is all the talk all the time that the governments have for a long time known about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so sure if they came out and told us, it would destroy society. People would be jumping off buildings. We would just turn into babbling maniacs for some reason.
Right.
And so they have been in cahoots with Hollywood and beyond Hollywood, designers, all sorts of things,
mm-hmm.
to slowly implant these ideas in our head to acclimate us to the ideas of aliens. Mm-hmm. So aliens in movies, not necessarily like Alien the movie,
right?
But like a movie like, where aliens are a friendly thing in a movie?
E.T.?
Like E.T., exactly.
Steven Spielberg may be the leader.
Oh, look at his history. He definitely is in it.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yep. You know the movie Race to Witch Mountain in 2009?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it had The Rock in it, right?
Yeah, it did, which was a remake.
Yes, it was. They apparently received extensive support from the CIA, who... All the input the uh-huh. CIA gave was, I guess, at several points, there's alien writing and symbols.
Uh-huh.
And the CIA told them what the writing has to look like just to get it familiar in our eyes,
wow.
what their language looks like to make them seem, pardon the pun, less alien.
Wow.
And they got huge amounts of funding from the federal government for that, apparently.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Also, a lot of people say that the Chinese stadium where they had the Olympics, it looked like
right,
a spaceship.
Right, right.
It was to acclimatize.
Well, of course.
So my idea is start making whatever it is you make. For me, I act, so I could start making YouTube videos.
Uh-huh.
Where I'm just spitballing, throwing any idea against the wall of what I think maybe alien language sounds like, of something I think what an alien might look like, or all these different alien-friendly ideas.
Right.
And if I so happen to hit the nail on the head with any of my guesses, the government will see that.
And they will give you money.
And they will give me untold millions of dollars to make that big and get that, whatever it is, out to the people to assimilate the idea of aliens so that they do not go bananas, light their house on fire, and jump off a bridge when eventually we find out.
Then maybe the Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel should become a new concept called Assimilating the Aliens with Josh and Noel. And that can be our hour-long broadcast.
Well, we got to move from idea to idea, you know? We got to cycle through them.
We can. That's, well, I don't know. If it's going to get us that rich, I'm okay with it being a one-shot deal.
Yeah. But, yeah. Untold millions, I believe, in that idea.
So, within this... and I like it. I think it's good. I'm okay with the idea that they're assimilating us, that they're making us feel more comfortable with the ideas of aliens walking amongst us so we don't set our houses on fire, jump off of bridges, kill our children and eat them, which is, of course, immediately what would happen.
Immediately what I would do if I found out there were aliens.
I would destroy my family and everything I have. What then are we to make of the alien films that are the opposite of that?
Okay, so alien films are there's two sides the government is working on. On one side, they're trying to make aliens seem more familiar and less scary. And on the other side, they're trying to say, but if we want to, we can kick their butt. We're not helpless against aliens.
So we're so we're both showing that the aliens
walk softly but carry a big
laser gun.
Yeah, a big dynamo of Luciferian energy.
I feel like while I wasn't ready to do this, I feel like that phrase is kind of a perfect segue for us.
For the Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week.
Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week.
All right. So, you know, the Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week, brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn, is something we do every week that does not necessarily have anything to do with the topic. It's just another little tidbit of how to get rich quick. If you don't have time to listen to the whole show, listen to the Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week and make your millions off of that. And then when you have a little more time, you're on the toilet or something, then you can sit down and listen to the rest of the show and make more millions.
More millions.
Yeah.
And so along the lines of the dynamo of Luciferian energy, I give you the Get Rich Quick.
My whole intention was to tell people to believe in yourself, follow your own visions, your own dreams, and crush whoever's in your way.
Kirk had no illusions about where his growing success came from.
I got on the ground and I clawed the earth. I told Satan, I said, if you give me what I want, if you make me a god, if you give me the women and the drugs and the fame and everything, and you give me the power to crush people, I will serve you until the end of time. Within 2 days, I was offered a recording contract.
So, you know, if you don't have time to make some YouTube videos and put them out there and wait for the government to see your alien interpretations and give you untold millions, maybe you just want to sell your soul to the devil.
Which is, I think, very reasonable.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
No. You know what I liked about that is he really just came right out and said it. He wants the women, mm-hmm. the money, mm-hmm. the drugs, and the power to crush people.
To crush people.
Which is why we're all here, people.
That's
we
right.
could be listening to music. We could be walking in the park, but we're not. We're here to get rich quick.
That's right.
Because we want the money, the women, the drugs, and the power to crush people.
I think that last one is really the one that, I mean, that to me, the power to crush people
yeah.
is the ultimate power.
Oh, yeah.
The ability to just take someone and just thumb them down.
Yeah.
Turn them into dust and then walk away. Like it means nothing to you.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, so for people not from New York, this is a New York thing, but have you ever seen that guy around? And he'll be in like, I haven't seen him in quite a while, but I had seen him a bunch of times before. And he's named like Carpet Mike or something like that. And he rolls himself up in a rug and has people walk on him. And he'll be at like a party or... Back, Tom Tenney used to have a theater over on 14th Street, and where Otto Shrunken Head is now, used to be a place called Barmacy.
I remember
there
Barmacy.
Was a bar that looked like a pharmacy.
Yeah.
And we went in there one time after working at the theater, and the bartender was just like, "Oh, you guys want to come back behind the bar and step on whatever Carpet Mike?" And we're like, all right. And so we go back there and we're just like standing on this guy. But he also goes out to parties and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
More on the alternative scene.
Does he hire himself out to parties?
I think he offers himself because he probably gets his jollies doing
this. I was
going to
say, he sounds like a masochist.
So would he want to crush people if he had all the money and resource in the world?
No.
Or would he just want someone to crush him?
I think he would want someone to crush him.
Yeah.
Does he like people stomping on him? Did you guys walk on him when you went back there?
Yeah.
And what did any sound or did he just
nothing? We'd be like, "You all right?" And he'd be like, "Yep."
My dad used to tell me a story about when he was bartending many years ago, many years ago, back in the '60s. This guy came into the bar and started acting like a real asshole. My father said, "You know, shut it up or get out." Guy starts saying, "Fuck you, man, fuck you," and really just getting under my father's skin. And finally they started getting into it and they started screaming at each other. And my father ran from behind the bar and grabbed the guy and threw him down outside of the bar. And the guy jumped up and took a swing at my father. And it was kind of a half-hearted swing, but my father just hauled off and pounded him.
Yep.
My father had him on the ground and he just starts punching him in the face. And at one point he's got his hand raised up and the guy's teeth, he's like bleeding all over the place. And the guy looks at my dad and just gets a big smile.
Oh, he's crazy.
And he was just because, and my father just stopped. He said he just stopped right then. He was like, "Oh my God, this guy's just doing this because he's getting off on this.
Oh,
he's just totally getting off on me beating the shit out of him."
Oh,
like,
man.
That's his thing. So my father got up and walked away, and the guy started screaming, "Where are you going? Where are you going? Come back here. Come back."
New York City, guys.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I wonder if it's like that anymore. I haven't worked in bars in so long, but I feel like it. You know, there's always freaks out there.
Yeah, there's freaks here. And you know what? The thing about New York is it's a place where, sure, there's a lot of people from here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many people that come here all the time. And they're coming here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And a lot of them, along with wanting to be investment bankers, is wanting to be in New York City. The dirtiest city in the world.
Right.
And I don't mean... I don't know if it technically is the dirtiest city in the world. I'm sure Bangkok or something.
Yeah, I'm sure any of those sex for pay places are... You know, funny, speaking of sex for pay and dirty...
And for play.
There's been a video going around that sort of asks... they speak to an astrophysicist, and the question is like... Why are we here? And she basically breaks it down that what we are as human beings is the dust of dead stars, exploded stars.
Okay.
Right? Because everything, all of the elements that make up us as human beings comes from outer space.
Oh, sure, of course.
Right. And that have come down here and formed us. And she refers to us as dead stars looking up at the stars.
Okay.
Which is a really kind of beautiful, I think, sentiment, right? I mean, it's very poetic and it's very philosophical in its way. But I immediately thought, well, oh, outer space, how do you make money quickly in outer space? We are outer space, right? We are these dead stars.
Sure.
Prostitution.
Well, and anytime you see any kind of sci-fi movie and there's a space colony, they are always rife with prostitutes.
You need a red light district anywhere. Anywhere that there are people who are colonizing, you need ladies for them.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's how the West was won, right?
Mm-hmm.
They sent a bunch of dudes out there, and they're all killing and skinning and stealing and pillaging. And then right behind them, brothels.
Yeah.
Brothels and covered wagons.
Although we live in a different age now. So we could have women miners, and you know, it's not, we don't live in the same type of, you know, olden days.
I don't
where,
want to be considered sexist. I don't want the ladies to think that their only that their sole purpose in space is prostitution. There can be male prostitutes as well.
Yeah,
I don't think that's an issue. But yes, there can be female miners. There can be female space people.
Yeah,
astronauts. That's the word I'm looking.
Space people.
Space
I think you were right the first time. You know, and in a gesture of gender equality in outer space, the first man on the moon, what did he do? He put on an apron.
He did. To cover his dynamo of Luciferian energy.
Yeah. So.
I mean, that's why he did it. That the you know, part of Tex Mars's theory is you know, when he put that apron on the backside was just, it looked like an apron. On the front side, that which was, I'm sorry, I should say, he showed the backside, which looked just like an apron. But
okay.
The front side, the actual front side, which he was using as the backside, was actually the flag of the Illuminati, the double-headed eagle.
Okay.
And then they brought Satan to the moon, where he now... I assume now resides and looks over at us, mocking us.
Probably.
Be afraid of the night, Noel. Be afraid of the night.
Yeah. Of course, Satan's on the moon. It makes so much sense. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I feel like a dummy now.
Well, and of course, because you kind of are.
Yeah. Well,
and that's
true.
Okay. But yeah, Satan was brought to the moon by the eagle when it landed.
What other bad things were on the moon? As we already discussed, there is the infamous Nazi base on the moon.
Right.
I guess Satan's on the moon.
Satan's on the moon.
You ever hear that, what's his name?
Gil Scott Heron, yes.
The Whitey on the Moon?
Uh-huh.
Do you ever listen to that?
No.
It's great. It's kind of like beat poetry with like a...
Right. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. Like all Gil Scott
Heron. And it's just like, you know, a rat done bit my sister Nell, but Whitey's on the moon. Her hands and face begin to swell, and Whitey's on the moon. And it's great.
I had always wished that after Obama got voted in at his inauguration, they had played... Paint the White House Black by Parliament Funkadelic.
Mm-hmm.
It just would have been, I feel like it would have been the perfect culmination of all of that.
Yeah, well, maybe if, you know, I pray this doesn't happen, but if a Republican does win the next election, you know how they say, like, the Clintons, like, trashed the place when they left? He should paint the White House black.
I had not heard that the Clintons trashed.
Oh yeah, they were all.
What
like,
do you think? That do you think Bill put his foot through a TV and shit like that, or was it?
They took everything.
Well, yeah,
and
that
they...
actually. Okay, I heard that. Yeah, well, because they're from fucking Arkansas.
Exactly.
You know, poor white trash will always be poor white.
Yeah.
Trash.
Well, Hillary is from
Chicago.
Yeah.
I know,
there you go, Chicago.
I know. She's a classic.
So
lady.
She knows good pizza.
She knows. Well, no, actually, she doesn't.
No, she does.
You know why? Because she moved to New York.
Well, New York has good pizza, but it's different.
New York has great pizza. New York has the best pizza in America.
Chicago has two kinds of pizza. Stuff Pizza, which everyone here
you
knows
hear my
about.
Audible sigh, by the way.
Yeah, well, okay. You're going to get a lecture.
Okay,
they have Stuff Pizza, which everyone here knows about, which
not
deep
pizza.
Dish they call it here.
Right.
But on the south side, they have thin pizza.
Right, and it's like a cracker crust. Right?
It's like super thin crust, cheese and sausage, and they cut it in squares.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. It's really good. My family's all south side.
Do you go? Isn't south side the bad side? Isn't north side like the good side and south side the bad side?
A lot of the south side is not very. There's a lot of housing projects on the south side. And Chicago is incredibly segregated.
Well, yeah, I know that.
And so most of the south side is black and Hispanic.
Right. That's the area that's affectionately known as Chirac at this point, right?
Yeah. But where my family is from is Beverly on the south side of Chicago, which is the like far southwest corner of Chicago. And it is Irish Catholic 100%.
Mm-hmm.
When I was living in Canada, I came up for a couple summers to Chicago and worked for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked during the day at the Board of Trade one summer.
Uh-huh.
And at night, I bartended at Giordano's Pizza downtown, which is like one of the big pizza chains there. And my cousin that I was staying with, he was a kid, and everything he's ever heard of in his life has been Irish. So he assumed for a long time that Giordano's, the pizza place I was working at, was called Jerry O'Donnell's. It just didn't occur to him it could be anything not Irish.
That's fantastic. I love how people can live in a huge multicultural, multinational city like Chicago, New York, and yet still be so provincial that, you know, the idea that anything could be anything other than what it is that they know from their 10-block radius or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Doesn't enter their mind.
So I think it's about time where we review our ideas a little bit, take a little bit of stock, and put these ideas up to the test of the internet. So for anyone not familiar, what we do every week is, you know, we initially started looking out on the internet to see what is a good set of rules to judge our ideas against. And as we looked, we just saw fantastic list after fantastic list after fantastic list of rules to get rich quick. So we decided they're all good. Every week we're going to take a random sample.
Really, we decided, who are we to judge?
Who are we to judge?
It's not even that they're all good. They may not be good, but we don't know.
No.
But we're throwing it out there. Again, this is all about spitballing.
Yeah.
This is what we do here on Get Rich Quick
That's
with
right.
Josh and Noel. So here are the Get Rich Quick random rules of getting rich quickly.
Okay, so.
Number one. Oh, this actually comes from the 5 rules to grow rich.
Okay, this sounds like a fantastic thing to trust with my money.
Right. Number one, live smarter.
Live smarter.
How does that pertain to what we were discussing today, outer space? I think you have to be pretty damn smart to make it out to outer space.
Yeah, NASA, that's not known for... The term rocket scientist
is generally a term indicating how smart one is.
Yeah, you know, in Chicago one time, I went to a University of Chicago party, and it was literally all... nuclear scientists and rocket scientists there. And one guy got an argument with me about how a knot, like a knot in your shoelace, can't be mathematically proven, so it might not exist. And I was like, listen, buddy, you got to get your head out of your books because knots are real.
They're just real.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking pragmatist, my friend.
Okay, number two.
Number two, make your money grow.
Of course, we are 100%. We're not.
How exactly? I mean, it's certainly possible that you can maybe plant money on planets in outer space and they will grow.
Yeah.
We don't know what those bodies are like and what properties they have that may actually you can drop a quarter in a hole and water it and then suddenly you'll have a quarter tree come up. you know, obviously on the planet that is a diamond, if you're, you know, you invest in coal and just dump it there, it's going to turn into more diamonds really quickly.
Yeah, and you know, even if you only invest $50 in getting a webcam for your computer so you can put videos on YouTube, that money will grow like a dynamo of Luciferian energy and turn into untold millions.
Protect your main asset.
Protect your main asset.
Your main asset is that dynamo of Luciferian energy.
Yeah, and really the whole space industry is made to further military. You know, the reason we went to the moon was to make a rocket that could hit the far side of Russia.
Right, right. No, that's true. Which is, funnily enough, against the rules of the International Space Treaty that's out there. And number five of the five rules to grow rich, we are 4 for 4 right now, is be patient. Well, I think that's a given because it's going to take you a while to get to outer space.
It will, but this is get rich quick.
I think quick is a relative term.
Okay. In space,
there quick
is no time.
You know, a year is pretty quick.
That's true.
In space.
Okay. I'll buy that then.
So once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are 5 for 5. I'm telling you, so far, of all of our shows, there's just one that we did not make it rich quickly or didn't, you know, work the rules well.
No, food.
But yeah, but we're doing it. We're doing it. And you should take these ideas, tie them, listen to us on Radio Free Brooklyn, listen to our podcast, Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel.
Yeah, tweet us, email us, look at our Facebook. What else are they going to do?
They're going to love us.
they're going to love us. Please, please love us.
Contact us. Let us know you're out there. Let us know that we're not in outer space.
Exactly.
All right? So love on all of you, especially the 79 people in Beijing, China that have been our number one audience in the world.
That's right. So once again, from Radio Free Brooklyn, I am Noel.
I am Josh.
And this was Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel. Don't spend all that knowledge in one place, guys. See you next week.